basketball, conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Willie the Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset, where the focus point is mind, body, and spirit to overcome all the obstacles that stand in our way today. And we want to keep on pushing regardless of what. Never let anything stand in our way. We have a dear friend of mine here present, a martial arts legend, champion, movie star, business owner. I mean, you name it. Mr. Chris Casamaski, he done did everything, man. And a part of a legacy when it comes down to his family. Mr. Chris, can we get a hello from you, man? Talk to us.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Master Johnson, for having me on today.
Give him a little brief intro on you, Mr. Chris.
Well, you did very well right there. Listen, I've been in the martial arts since I was 4 years old. I've done it my entire life. I just fell in love with it at a very early age, and I never really wanted to stop. And when I turned 17, 18, I decided to make the jump to hyperspace and go on the pro tour and compete on the North American Sport Karate Association tour. I had some early role models like Stuart Kwan and George Chung that I really looked up to. And I thought, man, they're doing it. I want to get out there and try and do it as well. And so I spent a decade out on the pro tour, actually. And I was out there with you. You were out there too, my man. But yeah, so when I retired, I was 4 years in a row as the number one forms competitor in the country. And from there, that kind of helped springboard another goal I had, which was to be in movies and TV shows. And I actually got scouted at the Battle of Atlanta is where it first started to kind of happen for me. That the night I won the grand championship there, there were some producers in the audience from a TV show called WMAC Masters.
That's right.
and they come up to me and Hakeem and a few other guys and said, hey, we're putting together the show. We would love to have you be a part of it. And of course we were all young and eager, like, yeah, let's do it. But, and then you don't hear from them for like 3 months. So we just kept going on and competing. And all of a sudden we get the phone call says, hey, we're going to be in Orlando and we're going to be filming the pilot for the show. We want you to come down. And things kind of took off from there. So
yeah,
that's the brief synopsis.
But I mean, there's so many questions here, but the one that stand out right off the top of my head is performing in tournaments, man, and doing a cartwheel off the stage. Showmanship. Talk to me, Chris. What was that? I mean, because you see people compete today. It's nothing. I mean, back then it was about showmanship. What can you do to stand out? I mean, what even made you think of doing such a trick, man, like that?
Well, listen, I got to tell you, there was a talented group of people I was competing against. And I really thought if I just go up there and do something normal, I might win, I might not. But why not do something nobody expects? And that really was my mindset. Of course, I was a lot younger, a lot more confident, a lot more arrogant at that time because I was like, I want to win. The drive to compete really just pushed me forward. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I did that. And it all kind of worked out luckily for the good.
I mean, but back then to want to win, I mean, you're talking about a world stage of we talking who? Hakeem Austin, you talking Ho-Sung Park, Richie Brandon,
Mike Bardo.
Naga. I mean, man,
yeah.
It was like a world tour, nothing but great. I mean, how did you prepare your mind, your body, and your spirit for such a feat?
Well, that's a great question. So here's how I did it. I said in the beginning, I started when I was 4 years old in martial arts. Every goal, every achievement that I was able to do so far in my life, I always credit back to my martial arts training when I was young. The belief in self, the confidence and awareness that the martial arts gives you really empowers you to go beyond and do things that most people would think are impossible or improbable, but then you go ahead and try them and you do them anyway. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out, but the belief in self, the confidence that comes from martial arts is probably the single most powerful thing that I've learned. And, you know, like you, I travel all over the United States and we teach clinics to kids and things like that. So really, it's not so much about what punch or what kick can I teach you. It's about what brain power, what mindset can I help you achieve that will allow you to do the things that you before today thought were impossible. You know, and for us, it starts with, a child learning to break a board.
Yes.
So we take the impossible and make it possible for them. So that mindset, to answer your question, I know I went a long way for that, but the mindset that I learned from age 4 to age 10 helped empower me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. I've put a label on, I call it the warrior's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were competing back then, I mean, everyone motivated one another. I mean, I think sometimes we look in society today and you don't see iron sharpening iron. And we need iron to sharpen iron in order for us to achieve greatness. And I think that's what competition and even the TV show was like. There were no egos. Everybody was uplifting one another. I mean, people still ask me that question. They say, man, what was it like for being on a TV show with so many great martial artists? I said, it was no egos, man. Everybody just wanted each other to look good. I mean, how would you describe such a unique experience at that moment, Chris, during those times?
Well, you know, hindsight, they say, is always 20/20. So looking back on it, you know, the fighting and the action and stuff that we're doing, like it literally was no work. When you are working with a group of talented people who you don't have to worry about if they're going to hit you on accident or if they're not good enough to do a move that you want to do, like there was none of that. It was like, all right, we're going to do this, this, this. And then the other guy would go, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And we go, okay, I'll do this. So that part of it was ultra cool. And I mean, it was such a blessing. You know, looking back on it, the only fights we had when we were on there was who had more lines in the show. Like you would fight over that constantly. Like, hey, he's got 8 lines. I only have 4 in this episode, which was stupid, like at the time. But, you know, you're young and it's kind of cool. But being on the show with you and Richie, Hakeem and Mike and Herb and all those guys, I mean, it was just some of the best times of my life happened on those, you know, 2-3 years that we were working on that show.
And I think I was telling, because I talked to Isaac a lot and we were laughing about how if you took more than one take, people got on you. It's like, man, how many takes you going to take to get that shot?
Yeah.
I mean, and people, I tell them, I said, no, it was like one take, man. If you went beyond one take, they was going Joan on you all day. I mean, so it was like that competitive spirit, but it was so much love, camaraderie as martial artists. And I think that probably goes back to what you said in your school. I mean, that's what you was used to coming up. Would you say that's what you was used to coming up in your martial arts school in a good school? It's about family, extended family dynamics and teamwork.
Yep.
How important is that?
100%. Listen, the community that we build and the bonds that we create inside the studio, unfortunately, are things people aren't getting in regular society or at their homes, you know? And so that sense of belonging, that sense of, you know, not to put a gender on it, but it's just called brotherhood, that togetherness of being in a martial arts family really helps to create a strong bond in the mindset, you know. And going back, you were talking about competition. Like when me and you and Richie and those guys were on tour, like there was a real sense of competition because we all looked at each other like, damn, that guy is good. What can I do to beat him? And, you know, I go to tournaments today and it's like, they're all friends and stuff. And which is on one side, it's cool. You know, it's like the talk show host today are like all friendly, but back in the Carson area, they're like, I'm going to kill. I'm going to read. We were like that. Like after the tournament. Yeah. We were like, hey, let's go have a drink or whatever. It was cool. But during the competition, man, we didn't talk to each other. There was like, don't even look at me and all the dumb stuff that we used to try and do. Like there was a real sense of, I've got to work hard to be better than this guy who's already really good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because when I teach on Zoom, even last night I was telling the kids, I said, hold your shoulders up, man. Stop, break that habit. You're getting too complacent because you didn't got adjusted to dealing with COVID, but now you come on class without your belt. You come in to have a meeting with your slippers and your jammies. I mean, come on, you can't fall into this trap because once we go back to some type of normalcy, you're going to be left behind. And I think that's what it was when we competed. We played mind games on each other. You know, it's like, you know, It's like purposely walk in front of someone or, you know, look at you real strange, like you're mad at each other. But like you said, when the tournament was over, we were the best of friends.
Yep.
And I think, how important in society, especially right now during COVID and everybody on virtual learning, how important is it still to behave like you're in the real world, dress like you're dressed the part, act the part, stand up like you're ready to go and attack the job? How important is that, Chris?
It's critically important, and I agree with you 100%. When last March, when this all started to go down, and we made the quick shift to Zoom, which is a whole another conversation we should have about martial arts school owners who didn't make the shift, and to this day still haven't, and now they're out of business, and they're broke, and they're going bankrupt. I mean, that's a whole another conversation of what I'm doing and trying to help school owners. But we made the shift right away, and the first month, all the kids were showing up in their uniforms and stuff. And then, like, month two, exactly what you said, started getting lazy. So I was like, I stopped the class. I'm like, all right, everyone has 5 minutes. Go find your uniform, get your t-shirt tucked into your uniform pants, and get your belt on, because I will not teach you until you're dressed appropriately. Just because we're on Zoom, the martial arts training doesn't end. Go get dressed the right way.
Do you feel like, for me, when we made that shift, I said, man, this is like stage play. You know, on a stage play, you got to engage. It's like competing. When you was on that stage, you had to get people to clap. You have to get them to cheer you on. And to me, if you understand that concept on Zoom, that's what you got to do. You got to get them bodies and them minds to participate in what you're doing. And it seems like when you're so used to barking out orders and barking out commands, and you ain't got to really interact and work and physically display your body and your eye contact, you know, it's difficult now because you got to come outside. You got to, and you brought it up, how important is it to make that conversion over to become a different type of teacher, different type of person to engage that virtual audience?
Yeah, this really was, you know, they say the cream rises to the top. And unfortunately, as tough as it was on businesses, the people who adapted early and who were really good communicators are the ones who survived. The ones that weren't are the ones that unfortunately started to struggle and started to fall off, because exactly what you said, like, to me, I love an audience, and I love a crowd. You put me up in front of 1,000 people, I'm freaking jazzed where people would freak out. Put me up in front of one person, and I actually get more nervous than having 1,000 to perform in front of. So the challenge, which is the way I looked at it, this was a new challenge. It was a new arena for me. I knew nothing about Zoom, but I spent that first 168 hours, literally, I think I slept maybe 12 hours in 7 days, diving in, understanding the platform, figuring out, getting all the technology put together. I didn't know any of it. It was just, it was like everything shut down, but wait, there's a way I can still communicate with my members. So I did everything in my power to dive in and to make our company. We went from an in-person business through 12 locations to a virtual business in 168 hours. Whoa. Because A, my family depends upon me to earn a living. And B, I had 11 other guys who were looking to me like, oh shit, I don't know if we can curse, but what are we going to do now? And I didn't want to leave them and their families hanging. So I felt it was super important just to dive in, absorb the platform. And fortunately for us, like, your style, my style, it translates very well on Zoom. Like, the guys I feel for, the jiu-jitsu guys, you know, the Aikido guys that are always in contact, that was very difficult for them. And a lot of them did it, and they made it work, and they came up with creative drills that are just going to make the in-person training across the board, no matter what style you are, better. When things start to get back to normal and more open, like, our training is going to be great. And the flip of it, and I know I'm switching this to business for a little bit, is this virtual platform isn't going away. Like, when we're back to normal, there are still a bunch of people who just want to, they're good with training at home. Peloton got it right. Yeah. Mirror is getting it right. Row is getting it right. Those are multi-million dollar companies, hundreds of millions of dollars. Why not for martial arts? So for me, this is a viable platform that's going to be a part of my business as we move forward into 2021, 2022.
But you said something that's interesting. Always used to call the term of complete martial artist. And you can correct me. When we went into martial arts, we already had a goal. Well, we're going to compete. We're going to transition to films. We're going to transition to probably writing books. We're going to write articles. We're going to get on covers of magazines. We're going to figure out how to branch this out into some type of business component, be it a school, be it bodyguard, be it something. I mean, when you look at that generation, Billy Blanks, everybody had a bigger picture in mind. It was the competition arena was just a platform to get known, to branch out into all those other areas. Am I correct?
100%.
So, I mean, and I think a lot of times when, and even your dad trained you that way. I mean, if you, and that's what you were saying. He prepared you for that complete journey, 360 degrees of growth. And I think maybe that's probably one of the problems that happened somewhere along the way. You just was teaching them on the floor. You wasn't training them for to take over the school or to go out and build a career in films. Because when we look at everything in Hollywood and everything that related to martial arts, it's still one of our peers, one of the people we came up with that's either choreographing, I mean, doing choreography, running businesses. I mean, how important is that complete, that 360 degrees level of knowledge for your students and your training?
Well, listen, it's critically important simply because you want to be well-rounded. You know, when we were competing, we specialized maybe on one or two things. Like you were a fantastic fighter and forms guy. I was forms weapons. Fighting was kind of like the third thing. I did it, but I wasn't as good as forms and weapons. So, you know, we each had our specialty, but you still, like for me, my dad said, when you compete, you're competing in all three divisions.
Yes.
Like you can love kata and weapons better than fighting, but you're going to fight.
Right.
And I was like, damn it. But I did it. And, you know, it made me a more well-rounded martial artist, which prepared me for, you know, many other things.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because when I see you being a leader in the industry today as a businessman, it's nothing new, but it's like, man, you know, look at Chris, man. I mean, we were coming up and we all were competing. We were on a TV show and now he's one of the leaders in school management, leadership and all those things. I mean, how hard was it for you to make the conversion and make that shift to become, you know, a coach, a mentor today?
Well, I'll tell you, the answer is it wasn't difficult at all. But what was difficult was the old school philosophy mindset that I was brought up in, as my dad was, and I'm sure your instructors and family were too, is what you learned was secret and you didn't share it with anyone else. It was the martial arts back in the 60s, 70s was me.
Yeah.
You don't care, know any mystery. It's all secret and mysterious and you know, wicka wacka ching chow. It's like, ah. So the mindset that I had to break out of for me was, it's okay to share.
Yeah.
It's okay to help lift people up. Our company has been around for 56 years. The knowledge and the systems that we have allowed us to survive and thrive in any type of economy, whether it was this pandemic, the market crash of 08, the early depression and the gas shortages in the 70s where people were scrambling. Like, we've survived it all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by accident. My dad, I give him a ton of credit for it, was very brilliant in his approach to how he wanted to systematize the style of martial arts that he created. But it wasn't so much about the art. Like, we have a great art form, but the business behind the art, once I flipped my mindset of, it's okay to share the phone scripts, it's okay to share the enrollment part. They're not teaching our katas, not teaching our weapons, but I can help their business grow.
Right.
So whether you're Kung Fu or Jiu-Jitsu or Aikido or Taekwondo, it's irrelevant. If you have the systems in place to run a business. And that's the other big thing. So for me, once I got out of that mindset, I was like, okay, I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to help you. And I tested it, right? I went to a couple friends who I'd met on tour and I said, hey, why don't you try this in your business? And it worked. Why don't you try this? And it worked. And then I knew I was onto something. And that's when I said, okay, so let's try and take the martial arts out of the mom and pop back alley liquor store era and bring it into the mainstream business to where it's like a Starbucks, where it's like a real professional company that can be run by anyone. Now, you're empowering other people. You're providing career opportunities. You're providing lifestyle. You're creating a bigger impact in your community because you can serve more people. You know that, and that's the other one. People go, oh, you're running a McDojo. People who usually say that are what I call McBroke.
Yeah.
You might love McDonald's. You might hate McDonald's. I'm personally not a fan of the food, but I'm a fan of their systems.
Right,
they're
right.
$1 billion company. So you want to compare me to a $1 billion company? Cool.
Right.
I'll take it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and on our end, like you, I know what you teach and I know what I teach. We're providing high quality martial arts with a business system behind it. When you have that, that's like a left jab, right cross. It is just unbeatable.
But I think the awesome thing too is that we're passionate about what we do. you know, the passion, the love of the art. I seen you on Instagram breaking out some old forms. You know, like, look, don't take me for granted. I can still do a little something. So, you know, but I think that's the passion, the joy that we have for martial arts, and to be blessed to come up with some of the older people. I mean, my business with EFC and Mr. Nick Cocaine is, I was blessed to be, you know, guided by him since I was 17. But like you say, we take it and we adapt it, and now we make it more feasible and touch more people. But the passion, that Damon John said it, he said, look, your passion have to be more important than your need for profit. Because if your passion is that powerful, the profit is going to be a byproduct of who you are. I mean, how would you describe that, Chris?
Dude, I cannot agree with you more than what you just said. And kudos to Damon John for saying that. I have said that to every single instructor that I've ever hired. If you're in this for the money, you're in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. If you're in this because you love the martial arts like I do, and you're excited about sharing your passion and your knowledge, the money's going to come to you. Like, I make a really good living because I'm not, because I'm into it for the money. The money is the byproduct of the passion that I have. And that's the other part of it. You touched on it, is I can still walk the walk. If you're a martial arts instructor and you're hearing my voice and you're not working out and working on yourself to make yourself better, whether it's physically or in the art form that you teach, you're already losing. You can't sit in a chair and just talk the talk, because you say the martial arts teaches self-discipline and respect, but you don't have enough self-discipline and respect for yourself to stay active in training. Like, I'm 56 years old. I'm old, but I'm out there and I'm pushing and I'm moving and I'm grooving. And I tell you, man, I wake up the next morning and I hurt.
Yeah,
I hurt in places I didn't even know I could hurt, but I do it because I need to lead by example, because that's what I believe in. The best kind of leadership is leadership by example. Don't do it because I tell you to do it. Do it because I'm doing it, and I know that it works.
And what I think was so important when we talk about martial artists, for some time, like, it was a closed door policy. You kept your little secrets. Nobody couldn't come in and check out your class. But if we look around and you use the fitness industry, because I model a lot of what I do behind the fitness industry, you got parents sitting in the audience that might bring their kids to you to take lessons, but them parents are doing Spartan races and CrossFit. And I mean, they're like in superb shape. So they sitting there seeing you fat, go outside, smoke a cigarette, come back in. Cause I mean, I'm not trying to put nobody down, but we'd be having that in our industry.
Yep.
You know, and you can barely do a burpee, or you barking out commands to students and you're not demonstrating to them what to do. And I think that begins to have a ripple effect on our industry as a whole. How important is it if we really wanted to evolve into this new norm, which is going to be half virtual, half in person? How do these leaders have to change themselves first to be that living example of what we're trying to preach?
Well, the short answer is, like Nike says, you got to just do it. Right. And listen, if you're out of shape and or whatever it is right now because of COVID or whatever, A, let's just start stopping with the excuses. And B, let's just start today. You know, the old saying is, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And you're the tree. So what I do is I teach people, it's the 1% game. If you can be 1% better today than you were yesterday, just 1%. Well, in 100 days, you're a brand new person. It's the consistency. It's the self-discipline. It's starting with small, achievable goals. Maybe it's one less meal at McDonald's during the week. Maybe it's whatever it is. Maybe it's only one beer instead of four. Whatever it is that 1% can be for you, you can do it. And there's guys like you and me that are out there. We're trying to help martial arts school owners win that game. But, and the other part of it you touched on, the reason why, and listen, I'm not asking anybody to be The Rock, you know, or Kevin Hart. I ain't asking you to do that. I'm just asking to be the best version of you that you can be, period. Because in your teach, I teach, we all know this. Kids under the age of 18 learn the best through visual. Yeah. They see it. We are the examples. We are the role models. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. I got kids. I can talk, and it goes in this ear and out the other ear, right? But if they see me doing it and they're following along, kids are the greatest mimics in the world. Yeah. So they want to be visual. They want to be kinesthetic. They want to be moving, but they need someone visually to show them. Now, if you had a bad injury or you're super injured, something like that, maybe your junior instructors, people that you've taught can demonstrate for them. But that visual acuity is important in the learning mind of a child.
But, you know, and I'm not, you know, tooting our horn, but you're 56, Chris. I'm 57. And I believe right now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you had to go out and compete right now, if you had to go out there and you wanted it that bad, you would go out there and give it your all. You would do whatever it takes on any level. So it's not like, I don't know, our generation, we don't believe in quitting until we cannot, our elbows and arms can't move. We're going to, and what you did, come on, I seen Keith Tabashi on Instagram doing a staff. I'm like,
yeah, I just saw that a couple days ago. Okay. That was awesome. Yeah. He started doing it, and I go, I remember that routine. That's I remember right, watching him do it.
That's right. And I mean, and I think that's what's different about our generation. And every generation gets better. We realize that we want to stay in shape. You feel better when you're in shape. You happy. Look how we happy, having a happy conversation during COVID-19. How many people, 80% of the people are depressed and can't get up out the bed. How that drive that you personally have, because it's obvious, Chris, you don't need nobody to motivate you. Who motivates you?
Well, as sappy as this sounds, my daughter and my son motivate me. I never want them to look at me and be like, dad's a loser. Yeah. You know what I mean? So my kids really are my driving force. For me, I want to do my best to provide for them, to be there. I want to see my daughter graduate college. I want to see my son graduate high school. I want to see, you know, if they choose to, I want to see them get married. I want to be a granddad someday. I'm not going to do that if I'm letting myself just go. So really, for me at this stage of my life, my kids are my motivation. They're the world to me. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no bigger sense of pride to me than looking at my kids and just knowing, wow. You know, and they're both good. It's cool because they're both black belts now. My daughter's getting ready to test for third degree. My son's getting ready to test for second degree. So I'm super pumped and super proud of them and what they're doing. So that really is my motivation nowadays. And here's the other thing, you talked about it, you know, and the evolution of the arts has really gotten better. Like, when I go out now to tournaments and I watch these kids, and it's funny I say kids because I was them. I watch them compete and I'm like, damn, I'm glad I'm not competing. Like, you're doing some crazy stuff. Yeah. But when I was competing and when you were competing, like, we were the first ones to ever do 540s or to do cartwheels or aerials. People, it blew their mind. Yeah. Now that's like a warm-up move. It's nothing. But we evolved because it was the style was very traditional, very straightforward. And then me, you, Richie, Brandon, we came out and we were like, all right, but let's try this. You know, Ho Sung Pak, super dynamic, super, you know, those were the leading guys. And then after us came, you know, John Valera, Mike Chat, guys like that, that took it up another level. So the talent is still out there. And the thing about, you know, working out and training, I can do more tricks and better moves now than when I was the number one competitor in the world. Like, my big move was the one-handed cartwheel or the aerial, the 540. Well, I can double that now at my age, which is kind of cool. No, I'm not going back out to compete. I'm pretty much done with it. Every once in a while, I'll pop back out. But yeah, so staying in shape and moving myself forward has really helped better my skill set.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about your kids, I think of, I was fortunate to have my oldest son on the show with us, Marco, mm-hmm. in one of the episodes. And now my youngest one, he's 7. And I tell people, I will keep my school open until he turns 18. Because out of all of them, hopefully that's our last one. That's what my wife said. We ain't having no more. That's it. It's done. It's over. You know, but I always say that I want to give him an opportunity, just like your dad did for you. When he turns 18, do he want to take this and go to another level? So I do believe that motivating factor is our kids. That's what keeps us pushing. You know, and Mr. Kokinas used to say, who motivates the motivator? The motivator. I mean, you're not going to tell me when you wake up in the morning, you're not psyched to, like, eat the right foods, read the right material, listen to the right things, because it's a job to be positive and to have that warrior's mindset. I mean, you don't just wake up and do it. There's things that you do throughout your day that are rituals to keep you on point What are some of the rituals that you do on a regular basis that you would share with others that keep you focused and on point?
Well, you touched on a lot of them. For February, during the month of February, I challenged my son because he wanted to start working out and getting stronger. You know, he's 16, coming up on 17 now, and he's growing like a weed. So he's thin, but he's tall, and he used to be really short. But now he's like, I want to get muscle. I want to be strong, Dad. And I go, okay, so here's what we're going to do in February. Every day, me and you are going to challenge each other, 100 push-ups, 100 crunches, 100 jumping jacks.
Okay.
So what we do, and we don't do them all at once because that's a lot, but we text each other throughout the day of how many we've completed at different parts of the day. So for example, as soon as you and I are done with this interview, I'm going to drop down, do 25 push-ups, 25 crunches, and I'm going to send him a text. But I did the first ones I did this morning, so I'm going to be at 50, 50, 50 by the time, you know, for me, it's coming up on lunchtime, comes around. So that's one thing. The other thing I do is I love reading. As you can see, my bookshelf behind me. The business books, the train, if you're a martial arts school owner, like it's cool to train in martial arts, but you got to train in business, right? You might be a black belt in the arts, but you're probably a white or an orange belt in business. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to become a black belt or in our system, our style, it's Shihan. I want to be a Shihan in business. Mm-hmm. But the flip of that is simple. I can't know it all. And I never think that just because I know a lot, I know everything. Cause that's your immediate downfall, right? If you're through learning, you're through earning. Right. So there's a big mindset shift there for me. That's it. So I'm going to read, I'm going to work out, I'm going to stay physically fit. I'm going to stay in constant contact with the people who rely on me, my other owners, my coaching clients across the country. You know, I want to keep motivating them to push through their goals so that they can achieve the success that they want.
So if you had, before we come to a close, we have somebody struggling right now, and I'm going to go to a younger kid or a teenager like me or you back then, not now, but you know, a young teenager. And I mean, everybody's striving so hard to keep the businesses going, take care of the family, but these kids are on Zoom and they lost. They feel like nobody's listening to them, just like we felt. Cause I mean, you can correct me. That was the reason why we pushed so hard. Cause it was like, nobody was listening to us. They was too busy telling us what to do and telling us why we need to do it this way. And right now during COVID, something that we never ever expected to have to deal with, what would you say to a parent or even a kid that just feel like they just want to end it? They just forget it, man. They might be in a dojo right now taking class, but when they walk out that dojo, they just want it all over. They just can't go on. What would you say, Chris?
It's going to get better. That's the bottom line. This isn't going to be here forever. This isn't the end of the world. And you only get one go round on this planet. So make the most of it, right? You don't just do, there's no, it was the old line from The Crow. There's no coming back, man. There's no coming back. So that's it. You get one shot, one opportunity. I'm going to drop some M&M. So just make the most of it and persevere. Really, this is a test of will. COVID is nothing more than a test of your will and your perseverance to push through and achieve better. Because think about how easy it's going to be when we get on the other side of this. Yeah. In our lifetimes, hopefully we never experience anything like this ever again. But how much stronger will you be on the other side of this? The easiest thing you can ever do is to give up. Do it right now. Yeah. But that's the easy way. No one ever told you life was going to be easy. No one ever said this is going to be smooth. Life is life and it is what you make it. So push through. And if you need help, dude or dudettes, whoever's listening to me, my California lingo coming out, seek help, right? There's a ton of hotlines you can do. Or if you're in the martial arts industry, like I'm easy to find. You can go on any social media platform and find me. You can DM me, you can PM me, you can send me an email. Like I don't care. If you're a business owner or martial arts student and you need some motivation, I'm out there. I love this industry, right? I love my company, but I also love this industry and I want to do my part to be the rising tide that lifts the boats so that our industry continues to thrive during the next 5, 10, 50 years.
That's right. This is what they say. This is a great opportunity for a great comeback, man. And I'm ready. You know, and one thing I just want to say to you, Chris, I mean, brother, from my heart and soul, I thank you so much. And I know everybody know that I get really emotional when I say these things, but even during those times when we competed and we worked together, you didn't realize how you gave me hope just to to give me the respect, to give me the camaraderie, and even the interview. I mean, it just, it shows any kid or anybody out there, I don't care what's going on, if you hold on and you keep God first, anything is possible. So I just want to tell you, brother, I love you and I appreciate you. I respect you, and keep up the good work, man. I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. You are the next level of leadership for our industry and for other people out there. So,
well, I'm trying, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, listen, we've known each other a very, very long time. And again, that's one of the great things about martial artists. You know, you and I, we might not talk, but when we see each other, when we talk, it's like, man, my old friend, like I'm giving you a virtual hug right now. It's like, that's the bond that's created through the arts, right? Your style is completely different than mine, but we don't care.
Yeah.
We're both martial artists. We are a family, we are a team, and we're here to try and help each other.
Yeah.
That's why I'm appreciative of it. That's why I'm happy to be here. And anything you need from me, man, I'm there for you.
All right, my brother. Peace and blessings.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.